Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
Well, tonight, Revelation chapter 20. I'm going to open with by beginning with verse 4 tonight. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4. The Apostle John writes, he says, "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. May God add blessings to the reading of his word. As an opening tonight, I want to take you back to the first part of Revelation chapter 20, verses 1, 2, and 3. And it was there, if you remember, an angel came down from heaven. And that angel had the key to the bottomless pit. And the angel also took the devil and bound the devil in chains, and took him and cast him into the bottomless pit and locked him away for 1,000 years. And at the end of that 1,000 years, we are told the devil will be released. He will be loosed for a little while. But now we see John continuing with that thought when he says, "And." So he's continuing with that thought. The devil is locked away. He's put there, he's put away for 1,000 years in the bottomless pit. The demons and all of his creatures and all of the forces of hell that had its way upon the face of the earth for so long are now locked away. Christ has came along with the church, and Christ has established his millennial reign here on earth. And that is what we are looking at tonight. We're going to see some things about the millennial reign of Christ that I'm sure you've probably heard preached about before. But there are some things out of this that we need to really be aware of. We need to be conscious of, because this is not some mystical fairy tale that John is talking about. This is a vision that John had on the Isle of Patmos. This will happen. This is prophecy. This is going to take place at some point in the future. And it is important for you and I, as the body of Christ tonight, to understand what this is and what it is going to look like in that day and in that age, so that we have a picture, because the world will look very different with Christ in charge. Now, we're going to be able, you may be shocked tonight to find out some of the things that this passage holds about what the world will look like in that day with Christ. Because we all have a tendency to draw our what's called a presupposition. We go into reading Scripture already having an idea of what's going to be there, already having some thought of what's going to be there. And what that does is that prohibits Scripture from talking to us and telling us. Every one of us, all pastors, all preachers, all evangelists, all Sunday school teachers, all seminary professors, they all have presupposition. You have presupposition. And the thing about presupposition is, okay, we have to realize we have it. And we have to understand it is our responsibility to curb it and to control it and not allow it to take control of our Bible study and of our Bible interpretation, but we are to curb it and set it to the side and just let the Word of God come back in and reveal to us what it says. And then what happens is our presupposition becomes a teachable moment. It is something that we either have an affirmation from God's Word or we have a correction from God's Word. But in either way, we have God's Word that has a final authority in our life. So tonight, one thing we need to look at and see is the authority that is given. The first thing that John says, I saw thrones. And I saw thrones. He saw judicial and regal authority. When we look at that word throne, it is a place and a symbol of authority. And when we look at it deeply from God's Word, and we really study it out and let it speak to us, and we make an observation of what's going on with Christ sitting on the throne, the main throne, He is judicially in charge of making sure that everything is determined right and wrong, and He is in charge in regal authority. That means the Lord Jesus Christ establishes what happens, when it happens, how it happens, and how everybody in the world handles it and reacts to it. We live in a free nation today that is ruled by the Constitution, and we have our rights and we have our liberties that are given to us by the Constitution. There will be no Constitution in the United States of America when Christ sits on the throne. It will not exist. It will be the rule of Christ, and that's all that it will be, is the rule of Christ. He will have judicial authority over everything. There will be no committees. There will be no Congress. There will be no Supreme Court. There will be none of that. Christ will have the final rule, and He will establish His reign over the world from His throne. I do not know what that is going to look like in detail, but I do know, according to God's Word, that is what we can look for, and that is what we can expect. And we can expect a couple of more things too. It goes on to say, and they sat upon them. Notice thrones is plural. Because the next phrase that comes after it, and they, a pronoun for more than one person. We know Christ is going to have the ultimate and the major throne that is going to, and he will be decreeing and making His decrees. But there are going to be others that are going to help enforce that. There are going to be others that are going to help in a judiciary sense, if you will. There are others that He is going to have in authority and in places of authority that are going to be overseeing the functions of the world. Who are they? They are the church. The church. The born again, redeemed children of God. Everyone that is saved by grace through faith in Christ alone will be there as part of His rule, as part of those who are supporting Him and helping Him. Now there's something we have to understand about that. You and I, as we are present today on this earth, we will not be present there in this same condition because we are flawed by sin. Even though we are saved by grace through faith, we are flawed by sin. We have a sin nature. It is still a part of us. It still has control and temptation in our life. We are a work in progress. We may be redeemed. We may be saved tonight. We may be blood-bought tonight. We may have all that, but we are not glorified in our bodies and we are not sanctified in our walk with God. Not completely. Not totally. Sanctification and glorification are both works that are in progress from the moment we receive Christ until the time we go into eternity where that process is complete. When they, that is spoken of here in this passage, the church, it is the glorified, sanctified church. It is the raptured church of the pre-tribulation times, and it is the church of those that are saved during the tribulation. It is the Old Testament saints that were saved by faith from before the prophecy of Christ and the coming of the Messiah. It is all of those. But we are going to be in a sanctified body. What does that mean? That means that the opinions that you have about things now, about world affairs, about functions, about anything going on in government, in politics, in church, in the Bible, in any of that, all of those opinions, all of those presuppositions that I talked about earlier, they're going to be gone. They're going to be gone. Having a sanctified, glorified body, we'll be having a body that will be Christ-like. Our goal, our thoughts, our views, everything that we do, everything that we live for will be based upon Christ. Everything. When we eat, when we sleep, anything that we do and everything that we do throughout the course of the day, it will be based upon Jesus Christ, and it will be our view, our life will be to glorify Him. Think about that. We think about worship and we talk about worship today. We talk about loving Jesus today. We have yet to cross into that where we love Christ and we worship Him and we want to reach out and be embraced by Him. We have yet to experience what that really means in a sanctified life. But we will. We will. It's amazing when we stop and think about the difference between the church here, the body of Christ here in its mortal, finite state, and the body of Christ in its infinite, sanctified, glorified condition. They sit upon the throne. It will not be just a title that's given. It won't be something that is just voted upon and given to us. It will be a responsibility that has eternal consequences. Think about that. Think about having a responsibility laid upon you, and that responsibility has eternal consequences for those whom you are responsible for. Without having the glorification and the sanctification that comes from God through the repentance and through the redemption that comes from the blood of Christ, and having crossed over and having received the bema seat of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ, having been transformed, there's no way that we could possibly sit upon one of these thrones. We would not have any qualification. We couldn't do it because we would be too opinionated in our own thoughts. And judgment was given to them. There was power and authority. It will be given to the glorified saints to enforce God's will and to adjudicate any disputes. When I think of that, I think of Moses. Remember when Moses was leading Israel and he was taking them through the wilderness. And his father-in-law, and I'm going to paraphrase this, so please bear with me, but his father-in-law basically said, Moses, why are you doing all of this for yourself? Why are you taking all of this on yourself, Moses? You've got people here that are over these tribes and over these people. Relegate the responsibility down to them. Make some of them responsible for hundreds and some for fifties and some for thousands and some for 10,000s. And you work with them and let them take those responsibilities. That very same picture is the picture that John is painting and giving to you and I in verse 4 about the responsibilities that the church will have during the millennial reign of Christ. For 1,000 years, it will be God's way or no way. And as the church, as the glorified, sanctified body of Christ, we will have a role of sitting on one of the thrones, sitting there, being a part, and however God works this out, being a part of the judgment that will be given in determining how all of this works. What an awesome responsibility. What an awesome preparation God has for us to carry it out. We will return from heaven with Christ to see Satan bound and locked away and to help establish Christ's throne. And be a part of the judgment process and be a part of sitting upon those thrones that He is going to put into place. An awesome, awesome responsibility. He saw the souls of those that had died. That phrase, beheaded for the witnesses, if we look in our study guide on page 121 on the right-hand side of the page, you see that it says, these are the tribulation martyrs, and the Greek word that is translated, beheaded, became a general term for execution, not necessarily a particular method. So it's not talking about just chopping off somebody's head, but it is talking about people who were killed in various ways because they were Christians. Because they had a witness for Christ. And yes, during the tribulation, that will happen. As a matter of fact, it's happening tonight in different areas around the world. India, some of my pastor friends in India send me images every week of villages out in the rural areas, out in the jungle areas of India, who are ransacked by anti-Christian movements and entire villages are killed or beaten. People are burned alive just because they are Christian. The same happens in Pakistan and in Turkey and all around the Middle Eastern countries just because they're Christian. It's happening tonight. The media doesn't cover it. They don't put any images or pictures out there. They don't want to know because the media and the mainstream groups in America hate Christianity tonight. They hate God. And if they let this stay low key, maybe they'll just get killed and they'll just disappear, is the idea. It's not going to happen. Because history repeats itself over and over again. And go anywhere through history that you want to and take a look at this. Anytime God's people become attacked and persecuted, anytime God's people are martyred because they sincerely love God, because they are worshiping God, because they are spreading the Word of God, because they are really and truly being the people of God, anytime they are persecuted or they are martyred because of it, Christianity gets stronger. It does not get weaker. It will happen during the tribulation. If you remember, as we went through the tribulation period, the devil and his crowd will go after the Christians, and they will go after them and persecute them. But what happens? People are always getting saved, aren't they? People are always coming to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. The devil may kill 10,000 over here, but over here 20,000 will come to know Jesus. He may kill 100 here, but 200 over here are going to come to know Jesus. He may kill 500 in this country or in this community, but in that community 500 more is going to come to know Jesus. It's happened historically. If you don't believe me, take some time and look it up. Not only that, but they were killed because they didn't worship the beast and they didn't take his number and the number of his name. All of that has come full circle. Because at the end of verse 4 we see, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. There's that pronoun again. They. They. The raptured church, the church that was persecuted and martyred, they lived and they reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Folks, we've got a future. And that future is bright with Jesus Christ. We've got a future. And that future is worth sharing with those in our families and those in our communities. That future is worth sharing with those who don't know Jesus Christ. If we don't have anything else tonight to be happy about and joyful about, if we have our salvation, that should be enough. Because we have seen here in just this one verse out of the few that I read tonight, the authority and the power of God that's going to be manifest back through your life in a coming day. That should be something to bring joy into your life. It should also be something that should bring a burdensome responsibility of knowing that here today, where we sit in the community that we're in, there are people that are lost and on their way to hell tonight, and they need to hear about Jesus. And the only way they're going to do it is if we love them enough and if we love God enough to share Him with them. To share Him with them. It's a very serious matter. It's not something that's mystical, and it's not something that's a fairy tale, and it's not something that's just made up and fabricated that might happen or might not happen. It is Bible prophecy that will be fulfilled in the future. And it will be fulfilled through the body of Christ. Whether it is coming from the raptured church or coming from the tribulation church, it will be fulfilled through both. But the rest of the dead, they didn't live again until the 1,000 years were finished. Those that did live, those that came down with Christ, those that have brought themselves down from heaven, those that did remain here and that were saved and had not been killed, that was the first resurrection. That was the first resurrection. They had already suffered their death. Remember God's word, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. those who had been called out of the rapture had been judged through the bema seat of Christ. Those who had been saved during the tribulation and had given their lives at the sword or whatever means was there, they were martyred. They had already faced their judgment. Those who had survived and who were there when Christ comes and when He sets up His kingdom, those will have already faced their judgment. That is the first resurrection. But those sadly that die, those sadly that remain in the grave, that did not know Jesus and do not know Jesus, theirs is the second resurrection. We are told that those who have their part in the first resurrection are blessed. Tonight, if you're saved tonight and you know you're saved and you're sincere and you really do understand it and know it, and you know that if the rapture was to take place tonight, then you realize tonight you are blessed. That comes from God's Word. That isn't my thoughts. That isn't my opinions. That comes from God's Word. Blessed and holy. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On the second death, on such the second death has no power. The second death will not bother you. The second death will have no authority in your life. The second death will have nothing to touch your life with. Because you are blessed, because you are holy, because of Christ. Tonight, if we have that blessing and if we have that holiness in our life, it is because of Christ. It isn't because we deserve it. It isn't because we've earned it. It isn't because we've merited it in any way, shape, form, or fashion. It is because of the grace and the mercy of God through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that He called us one day to confess our sin and to accept Him as Lord and Savior. We are blessed. We have something to smile about. We have something to be happy about tonight. We have something to be glorifying and worshiping God for tonight. We don't have to worry about the second death. It will not bother us. It will not touch us. Neither will it touch our loved ones that have been saved and they have gone on before us. Neither will it touch those that will go on afterwards after we're gone. Our children, our grandchildren who know Jesus as Lord and Savior, the second death will not touch them either. But they, there's that pronoun again, they, the saints, the church, shall be priests of God and of Christ. You have heard me say before that there is a thing called the priesthood of the believer. When Christ died on Calvary's cross and the veil was ripped from top to bottom, God's exposure and access to God was given to everyone through Jesus Christ at that moment. The high priestly office was no longer needed in the temple. There was no longer a high priest that needed to go before the mercy seat on behalf of people. You have that privilege on your own through the blood of Christ on the cross. That is the high priestly service of the Christian, of the born-again child of God. If you're saved today, you are the priesthood of the believers. You have access to the throne of God. Just as the high priest had access to the throne of God in the Old Testament days through the tabernacle and the temple. We don't have to worry about the second death because we shall be the priests of God and of Christ, and we shall reign with Him 1,000 years again. That was important enough in John's vision and in John's writing where he had to mention it twice. He had to mention it at the end of verse 4 and he had to mention it again at the end of verse 6. that the church will reign with Christ. For that, or was it in the threats of Caiaphas and Caesar? Yes, Caesar could kill him. Caesar could order his execution from Rome, and there would be no doubt it would be carried out. Pilate threw those sitting on the thrones. Folks, it's going to be a wonderful time. It's going to be an interesting time. It's going to be something the world has never experienced. And we will be a part of it. Not only that, but we're going to have ringside seats for it. We're going to get to be right there in the thick of it. And we're going to be prepared in a heavenly way to do it. The authority and the reality of God and what's coming in the future is amazing when we sit down and when we let God's Word speak to us and show us. I trust this has been a blessing to you tonight. I trust it gives you something to carry into your week ahead.